I mean, did Jordan Travis really mean that much to Florida State? Because everything since has looked straight up embarrassing.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It is just such good vibes around here. It's so good to be with you here at a new time slot at the 2 o'clock hour, baby. C-Cat, are you awake? Are you up? Are you active, man? I mean, it's early.
No, I'm not actually. I've been grinding on the fantasy football grind. I'm going to come in first again, dude.
Yeah, we have our fantasy football draft tonight in your league, the league that you're commissioning. It's my fourth league I'm doing this year. So, of course, there's a lot of people that are coming off the heels of their drafts. We got teams that are coming off of week ones of college football that are, there's a lot of fan bases optimistic. 12-team playoff. Everybody can make it. Everybody's still in the running. Except for a couple of teams. One of them out there in Tallahassee. But, C-Cat, I don't want to start this show on a bad note. We are going to talk about the total embarrassments that happened over week one of college football. And there were there was a rich amount of embarrassments that have gone down here. But I would hate to... On a show that's all about good vibes, good energy, spreading joy, and talking ball, I would hate to start on a bad note here as we move to the 2 o'clock hour, theoretically speaking. And of course, today is huge as well because we're going to have the debut of Russo and Rizzo following us up. 4 straight hours of local content here, so make sure you're tapped in with us today. C-Cat, I want to start on a good note. Do we have my theme music for the Miami Hurricanes rocking and rolling?
We'll have it in about 30 seconds.
Okay, we'll have it in 30 seconds. Before we even get to that, then I just must say this. Cameron Anthony Ward. I haven't seen one singular dude at the quarterback position make a college program feel, look, and present so different since another Cam when he walked in that door at Auburn and turned them into a national champion. I asked on Instagram earlier at Theo Dorsey TV, what's your number one college football overreaction of week one? Come on, C-Cat. My overreaction is not just about the Canes this year. I've been talking about it since the beginning. I said they were going to win the ACC. I said they were going to stomp the Florida Gators in the swamp. That's what I gave you to take to the house last week. But I'm starting to think that this is bigger than just the ACC for Miami. My overreaction, C-Cat, and I don't want to get too ahead of myself, Cam Ward has transformed this program. His singular year here at Miami is going to transform so many things, from the extension of Mario Cristobal in Coral Gables to maybe the resurgence of the U. Now it really will be all about the U all over again. And on top of that, this guy might be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft next year. I'm all the way in on the Canes. I have never been so elated. I've never felt so euphoric coming off of a weekend where the Canes dominate the Florida Gators in the swamp. And then also, Florida State gave me another present on the other side. C-Cat, I'm vibing. I'm feeling good, man. How are you feeling about your Nittany Lions?
Looked strong. Everyone was picking WVU to upset Nittany Lions when they were in Morgantown. Didn't happen. Didn't matter. There was a 3-hour lightning delay. I'm feeling ecstatic about football season arriving.
So that's the fun stuff. You can cut my theme music. You can cut my guys there. By the way, I introduced my wife to that song, and she's enamored with it. She now wants our future kids that we don't even have on the way yet to go to Miami. So, again, look at what Cam Ward is doing. He's creating future Canes that haven't even been dreamt up yet. The dude is immaculate. The dude is amazing. Let's start here, C-Cat, because football is a zero-sum game, man. Like, while I'm dancing and having a great time and enjoying myself because my favorite team got the dub, there's a lot of folks on the other side of that fence who are suffering, who are pessimistic, who are down in the dumps, and it's because their college football team downright embarrassed them in week one of college football. That's what it's about, right? Like, we can't all be winners. We can't all be happy. I've been on the other side for the past 2 decades with the Miami Hurricanes, and you as a Penn State fan, I mean, you've had a lot of up and downs since you've probably come into the fandom of the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, certainly. In college football, you do so much talking. You do so much talking leading up to that week one game because that's all you have to do to talk about. And unless you're the game with Ohio State and Michigan, unless you are maybe even the Iron Bowl, you're talking with the opponent It goes throughout the entire offseason leading up to week one. When you go week six, seven, you're worried about the guy before that or the guy after that. You only have a week of trash talk. Here, I mean, how much did you hear Florida fans yapping? How much did you hear Florida State fans saying, hey, can't keep us out this time?
Hey, my question is, Florida State fans out there, how much longer are you going to keep booing Kirk Herbstreit? How much longer is that going to last, right? Like, do you still have it within you to boo that man and to shame everybody else that kept you out of the college football playoff? And again, I'm not here to rain on what is already a very dismal situation out there in Tallahassee, but the fans of Florida State make it tough. And it weighs on me as a Canes fan. Of course, I don't like Florida State, but then I have actual friends and people I support who play for Florida State or are involved with the program. So I don't want to be all the way down on the guys, but golly, that was embarrassing. In fact, I'll go ahead and say it. Florida State, coming off of what happened in Dublin, Ireland, C-Cat, against Georgia Tech, which could have been permissible, right? We could have said that was an abomination, that was a one-off. They still were favored by double digits at home against a Boston College team that we did not know much about. So there were thoughts that Florida State would now bounce back, they would now refocus. What they did out there on the field at the Doak, how they got manhandled again, ran all up and down against Boston College, I think had nearly 300 rushing yards where Florida State had, what, 21?
It was disgusting.
That Florida State, in the third quarter, when they started pulling out trick plays to get the offense going, I said, well, damn, which one of these teams was supposed to be a national title contender? Like, which one of these teams was coming in as a team that was heralded as a squad that was going to have a chip on their shoulder, that was going to prove to everybody that this year is going to be different from last year because you can't keep us out of the 12-team playoff? That was absolutely horrendous. That was embarrassing. And I do want to say this. All the Noles fans want to just line up and blame it all on DJ Uiagalelei. Let me just say this right here. For all of y'all trying to clown him and make fun of his last name and all of that, it's fair game. He's a quarterback. He went out there and got the NIL deals. He's doing commercials. He's putting himself in the spotlight. But DJU ain't the only problem with this program right now. He had pressure in his face all day. That same offensive line that struggled in Dublin, Ireland against Georgia Tech had nothing for Boston College. You got tight ends and receivers dropping easily catchable balls. And you also have a defense that's getting torched time and time again. When I was at ACC kickoff in Charlotte, C-Cat, I was told, literally, Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle of Florida State, he's looking to be a top two, or at least, you know, first couple of, maybe a day one pick, or at least a second day pick in the NFL draft this year. He gave me three promises, his three checklists for Florida State this year and individual goals. He said 8 sacks. He said ACC Defensive Player of the Year. And he said a national title for the Noles. 2 weeks in, the dude's got 0 sacks, I think 5 tackles total. The Florida State, I mean, they have zero chance right now, right? Zero chance of being a national title.
They were trying to paint it as they have a 1% chance because you can't predict the rest of the season. No, I'm definitively saying if Florida State somehow makes it into the college football playoff, I will riot outside of the headquarters.
We should. There's nothing. It wasn't even fun to watch. And also with Florida State, it's not just 2 losses to unranked team to start the season. You know the common denominator in those 2 losses, C-Cat?
What?
They were both in the ACC. They were both conference losses. How the hell are you going to make it to the conference championship game now, especially with no divisions in the ACC?
Yeah.
Which, again, Florida State has to have zero prospects of making the conference championship. At this point, they just need to be focused on getting past Memphis. Because if Mike Norvell can't get a win against his former team, if he can't get a win against the Tigers at this point, like I don't know if he can leave that stadium with the job.
Yeah, you
hate that.
You came into the show rightfully and morally correct, saying you didn't come into the season wanting to throw dirt on the grave of Florida State.
No.
But they gave you no other option with how they played in 2 games. I came into the season wanting to twist the knife, wanting to poke fun, and wanting to leap at the first chance to make fun of Florida State. And man, Christmas came early.
So early, it was almost too easy. Doesn't it feel like low-hanging fruit, though? Like it feels like you're beating and punching down on now a program that has zero direction. Because, again, everybody's going to line up and just blame the quarterback, but there's so many issues with that Florida State team. Let's start it like this, C-Cat. Let's start it like this for my good people out there tapping in with Theoretically Speaking in our new hour, which I love. What was the biggest embarrassment of week one of college football, and how was it not the Florida State Seminoles? Please, if you think there's any other team that was embarrassed and downright did their own fans dirty as the Florida State Seminoles did, or even worse, let us know right now on Theoretically Speaking. You could tap in on the chat on YouTube at Theo Speaking, or hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline. What was the most embarrassing performance of this college football weekend? The Baptist Health Hotline, are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County as well as through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. I mean, if Jordan Travis meant that much to your program, if Jordan Travis meant that much to you, that since literally he had the accident, and again, Jordan Travis, Benjamin alum, local guy, since he had that accident, he snapped his leg against West Alabama. Yesterday was their first passing touchdown since then. They played out the rest of that game against West Alabama. They had a conference championship game, they had a bowl game, and they had a week zero game, against Georgia Tech in Dublin. It took them four games since Jordan Travis snapped his leg to get their first passing touchdown. If he means that much to you, then damn it, let me buy some New York Jets stock.
And like you alluded to, it wasn't just the offense, too. That defense of Florida State, you would have thought they've never seen a wheel route. Never seen a mobile quarterback. After they were left out of the college football playoff, they took their ball and went home.
Yes.
And we thought initially, okay, that means they're going to sit all their guys, which they did against Georgia, and pout and complain and sue their way into 2024. But they never forgot about it.
No.
And they never let it go. And they never prepared for 2024. Just by putting a name that people recognize into the quarterback position, just by thinking, you know what, we have the coach of the year with Mike Norvell, we must be destined for greatness. Got a couple of transfers. They were pathetic. They were embarrassing themselves. They were embarrassing their football team. They were embarrassing their school. How about the personal foul at the end of the game?
Man.
Shoving a guy because he's yapping in your ear? Oh, my gosh. If you're a Seminoles fan, I don't know how you came to work today.
They're undisciplined. They are weak in the trenches. Their quarterback obviously is not right for that system, nor is he a ceiling raiser at all. Now, again, I will say with DJU, we watched the team when DJU was quarterback and when Clemson went 11 games. We also saw him win 8 games last year with Oregon State, a team that, I mean, when he won those 8 games with them, that's the second most wins they had in the past decade. We've seen him be successful on the football field, though it hasn't always looked pretty. This has been ugly, and it extends beyond DJU, and we have another submission here from our guy, Bubba, who says, I mean, Florida State was embarrassing, but Brian Kelly is a joke. Brian Kelly is a joke. And he also was talking about Notre Dame getting the W. But let's listen to Brian Kelly, because LSU had a shot against USC. Not only did they have a shot, they should have won that game. They were in a pole position to do so. But Brian Kelly, yet again, starting off the year with a primetime loss. And you can't do that. You absolutely can't do that out in Baton Rouge. You can't do that with an LSU program that has been, again, just ripe for another one of those takeoff years. I mean, last year you had Jaden Daniels and the Heisman Trophy winner, and it's such a prolific offense, but you couldn't do enough early on in the season to make that into a team that can make the college football playoff. Now here you go again. Same old mistakes, same old issues for LSU, and here goes Brian Kelly reacting at the podium.
And we're sitting here again, we're sitting here again talking about
mad.
The same things about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over.
Yeah.
And I'm so angry about it.
Are you?
That I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And I got to coach him better, because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's
CK, doesn't that feel a little performative? I honestly, everybody else reacting to it, I haven't seen anybody say, like, it feels like he was giving us the speech that he felt that was necessary for the moment, but maybe he didn't feel that all the way in his heart, because it didn't feel genuine. It felt a little performative, the little slam on the desk and, even the tone in his voice. I don't know. I didn't buy that he was even that angry.
Yeah, two can be a coincidence. Three times, that's a trend. And LSU just does not get ready for their week one games.
No.
And who was at the helm? It's Brian Kelly. He's not getting his guys ready for one of the most important games of the year.
And he has to blame himself because you can't blame the kids in the locker room. You can't be the guy that's pointing fingers elsewhere. I one of my most important traits with leaders and especially head coaches or quarterbacks is, and I picked this up from the book Good to Great, which talks about taking businesses from good to great and how you can expand your entrepreneurship and make leadership changes that are beneficial to all in your company. It talks in there about the window or the mirror. And as a leader, when you have a situation arise, and let's say it's something that's good, you should look through the window and point the finger at somebody else and give credit and give a lot of the, that's an attaboy to the others. They're the reason why that happened. And when something terrible happens, when something abysmal happens, you got to look in the mirror and point at yourself and say, I got to do better. The reason why I hate it on Big Ben out there in Pittsburgh was because, first and foremost, the off-the-field stuff, I'll never get over. But also with Ben Roethlisberger, he was always blaming somebody else. He was always pointing the finger at somebody else when something went wrong. Aaron Rodgers did a lot of that as well with the Packers and a little bit with the Jets there. Like, I don't know how that's going to look, but at least Brian Kelly's taking some accountability. Unlike another team in college football over the weekend that, again, for Florida, the reason why I say Florida State was the most embarrassing week one loss CCAT is because, they actually went up against they went up against two teams that were bottom half of the ACC. And the ACC is what, the third best conference, maybe fourth if you count the Big 12 over them? Like, how do you stack those two up? Are you giving ACC versus Big 12 like an even ranking right now? Because the ACCs look bad. You saw what happened to Clemson.
Yeah, exactly. Before the week one games, I probably would have said definitively it goes SEC, then the Big 10, then the ACC, and then the Big 12. But after seeing what we saw, heck no, no. Bottom of the barrel Power Four team is the ACC right now.
ACC looks like a one-team race right now. It looks like a one-horse conference in Miami, and maybe you get a Louisville that sneaks up. The dark horse candidate in Virginia Tech loses to Vanderbilt, and you're like, oh, my God, what happened to that? That was supposed to be a squad. They were a hot pick at ACC kickoff this summer. But, again, at least Brian Kelly's taking some accountability, whether it was genuine or not, whether it felt real or not, he's pointing fingers at himself. And then you have Billy Napier, who, it's not like he was blaming the fans, right? Like, he didn't say the fans were the reason why we lost, but he took aim at the fans. And for a guy that feels like a dead man walking in college football, and I never want to see a coach just get fired, but Billy Napier, who has a losing record right now and also just doesn't feel like he has a good thumb on the pulse of his own team and program, this is probably the worst look of the weekend. The loss, not as embarrassing, but this from Billy Napier after the game, pointing fingers at and dismissing fans, most embarrassing from a coach.
We got to become a more consistent team, and we have to execute better. And if we can focus on those things and not necessarily what some guy in his basement saying in rural Central Florida on social media, then we got a chance to get better.
That is, and everybody wants to call out the fact that, oh, you can't have a basement in Central Florida. Who gives a damn, right? Like, the picture he's painting is there's a guy alone, isolated in a room, call it a man cave. If you're me, I like to hang out in the Bali bungalow. That's where I kick it and watch my games in my little screened-in courtyard at home. It's a very nice environment. But he's painting the picture of a guy that's sitting behind a computer desktop, not like a laptop these days. I feel like it's still a desktop, the PC that they're using. And they're up there on the message boards, and they're tweeting, and they're acting erratic. But for Billy Napier, after a loss like that, you can't call out fans.
As much as you thought social media would eradicate the need of message boards, they still live in college football, man.
The best.
It took it like maybe out of wrestling or other niche kind of interests of people that try to feel connected in a community. But college football message boards are alive and well. That's where you have hiring, firing rumors just blow up.
Yeah.
That's where you have just a whole lot of other rumor mills blow up on the message boards.
It's funny, too, because, like, is it because of the demographic that buys into college football because it's usually more rural areas? A lot of that is like SEC Nation and Big Ten Nation, which have a lot of country. Like, there's people that live on Facebook as well. Like, is it that? Or is it just because those are where the communities have been and some of the stuff they say in there, you can't really say publicly, you might get in trouble.
Yeah, you get 25,000 different fans of your favorite college football team on this platform, on this website. let's stay here.
Yeah.
It's been work. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Man, there's going to be, like, college football message boards are going to be a thing, you know, while I'm into my latter years. I'm a grandpa, and I'm telling my kids the good old days of when Cam Ward led Miami to a national championship in his 1 year, then went off to the pros and won a few MVPs in the Super Bowl, when I'm professing the joy that Cam Ward gave Canes fans in 2024, 2025, my grandkids are going to be able to still lock in on college football message boards.
And we are talking about, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
And the difference between the embarrassment that was felt from Seminole fans and what Gators fans felt. Oh. We have both in the office. We're Florida. I think there's a different level to this. The fact that this was a winnable game in terms of comparing Miami at home versus SEC games on the road in November, the Alabamas, the Georgias, if you would. You have so many recruits in the building watching this football game. If you are a recruit in the state of Florida, two options you're probably going to have are the U and their Florida. And who do they look garbage against? Someone they're battling recruiters for with Miami in their home place.
And then not only do you have following the win, I mean, throughout the game, you know, the Canes players are giving the Gator chomp and the thumbs down, which, by the way, my favorite. But two thumbs down. You give anything two thumbs down, like literally, like visually, that's the greatest diss of all time. That's better than a middle finger, two thumbs down.
Is that a reference I don't understand, or is that just...
No, it's just like, I disapprove. You stink. This is over with.
There was a...
This hurts. if imagine, like, you gave somebody something, like you gave me a coffee or something, or before the show, or, yeah, you know, what's something that you would give me? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, a coffee.
You were like, hey, Theo, man, you know, you look like you're having a cheery day, but I want to cheer you up some more. Here's a nice... Because you do super sweetened coffees, too, with all this sugar and cream. So you give me one of those, like, pink or super, you know, yellowish coffees because it's full of sweetener and all kind of candies. And then I grabbed it, put it down, and went like...
Two thumbs down.
This?
Boom.
That's more disrespectful than a middle finger.
Well, you know, there was a wrestler back in the day. You might know him as Batista, Dave Batista. He's like an action movie star now.
Yeah.
He's
I know Batista. I thought it was something with a J, but keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, that was his thing. He did the two thumbs, up, up, down.
I love it.
And then there's also a Mets fan way back in the day. Not way back in the day. This is probably 2018 or 2017.
After, look at C-Cat, young guy.
Yeah.
Young fella. Way back in the day, 2018, man. You know, back when I was in diapers.
After a Yankee hit a home run in the Subway Series, the cameras from ESPN caught him just doing one thumbs down.
Yeah.
And that became a rallying cry for the Yankees that entire season. After they hit a double, dust yourself off, look towards your dugout, thumb down.
I love it.
But two thumbs down right in front of you? Ooh, that might be a show thing. We should do that nowadays.
The chomp and the two thumbs down, I ain't going to cap. Like, I was in D.C. over the weekend for a baby shower for my boy. He's having twins. Congratulations to them. We were doing, me and my wife, after watching that game on Saturday, we were doing the two thumbs down to everything. It was just a great time. We were doing it back and forth to each other. It might be our new thing. Two thumbs down. I'm not rocking.
But yeah, in front of the crews, that's just another level to it. You're not just embarrassing your team this year, but you're hurting your chances at winning the years going forward.
And they had a 5-star DJ Pickett in the crowd there visiting Florida in the swamp, and Canes players afterwards were dapping up. They had a recruiting coordinator for the Florida Gators who were literally pushing and fighting off the Miami players as they left the stadium as they were interacting with the recruits in the house, and that wasn't all. That was adding insult to injury after the bludgeoning of the Gators 41-17 to open up the season. Then you had Cam Ward, who pierced them boys up something solid. Cameron Anthony Ward. Boy, I tell you, what he did on that field and what he's going to do the rest of this year, just keep the dude healthy, and I see some glassware, some hardware in the future of the Canes. Cam Ward afterwards, then disrespecting the environment that is the swamp.
There were 90,000 people, full throws, at the beginning of this game. Loudest.
No,
I don't know if this was the loudest environment you ever played.
It wasn't. I played at USC.
Okay.
USC wasn't packed, but it was louder than this. I played at Oregon. It was louder than this. The Pac-12 gets mistaken for it.
The Pac-12. He's talking about conferences that don't even exist anymore. Where he played last year, obviously, with Washington State. But two thumbs down from Cam Ward right there, just vocally. You got to feel bad if you're a fan that's in the swamp that's been talking about how that environment is so crazy and so hard to play against, and that was going to be the equalizer in this game, which was like a 3-point spread, and then he's saying that.
Fact of the matter is, that's the one thing you can control as a fan. You can't control what the coach does. You can't control what the players do. You can't even control what the committee does for the playoffs. The one thing you can control is how loud your fans are. and when they're loud and how much they affect the game. And they weren't able to do it.
Well, speaking of when they're loud, I think Cam Ward put the cherry on top after embarrassing their defense and throwing like 10 different sidearm throws and then also saying it wasn't even that loud in there. Here's Cam Ward giving a tip to the fans out in Gainesville.
I would say advice to the fans, if you're going to be loud, you have to be loud when we're huddling. Can't just be loud once we break the huddle. By that time, it's no point. You know, we hear the play. We're communicated. We communicate already.
Don't even show up. If I'm a Gators fan right now, I'm not even showing up. Let me see what they got week 2. Let's see what the Gators have for week 2 or their next home game. I would say don't even show up now, because if you do show up and you're loud and you're doing a good job, now you kind of got to credit Cam Ward for giving you a tip. And if you don't show up, at least the stadium will look just like it looked in week 1 when it was emptied out because the Canes were having their way. By the way, they do that little Tom Petty song, like the Won't Back Down song, to start the fourth quarter off. And I would say they still did back down. They did. It didn't work out. Grant Mertz, really not a good quarterback. The backup looked a lot better for the Gators, and I'm not sure where they go from here, but I do know that Billy Napier is coaching for his job right now, and their next home game is actually against Samford this Saturday in the Swamp. Don't show up. Don't show up. Because if you do, that's going to be, you know, you taking the advice of the one great Cam Ward, who also, again, he's got Southeast Texas ties, man. The dude is from an area around Houston. I knew the brother would be good when I chopped it up with him in Charlotte. Can I do one more?
Let's do one more.
Because Cam Ward wasn't done with the Swamp. Not only did he say it wasn't as loud as the Pac-12 stadiums, not only did he give Florida fans a tip, further embarrassing them. Again, this is up there with the most embarrassing performance of week 1. Then Cam Ward went on to say, you know, a lot of times people say, yeah, practice is harder than the games. That's a credit to your own team. But what he said was actually just a diss to Florida again.
Practice was way louder than this. I mean, when you have a speaker blowing in your ear from 5 yards behind you, it's kind of hard to hear stuff in huddle. So
it's over with. It's over with. It's a wrap. Hey, C-Cat, between Billy Napier and Mike Norvell. And I think Mike Norvell should be able to hold on to this job, but it seems like so much of his success was tied to Jordan Travis. Who do you think lasts longer now?
You know, it's tough because I want to wait for the losses to happen before I count them in the book. You're too closely removed from Norvell with Coach of the Year nomination, undefeated season. That's nothing to sneeze at. So I think Napier, if I'm choosing between the two, Napier's closer to the grave in terms of his job with Florida.
And look at how much a difference a quarterback makes. Tyler Van Dyke obviously wasn't that guy. Wisconsin found it out the hard way. Luke Fickell, you tried to blame Mario Cristobal when really the problem was TVD. You bring in a guy like Cam Ward. Cristobal was on that list for first coach fired. I think he was the third shortest odds on that random little offshore list for first coach fired. You bring in a dude at quarterback, and there are no thoughts of that. And the other two coaches in the state of Florida are now coaching for their lives. I can't wait to do our Sunshine Standings on Wednesday tomorrow because I can give you a hint who's going to be number one. And we'll see if somebody else is able to pass up Florida State or Florida for the 2 and 3 spots. On the other side, we bring in my guy, Mike Tannenbaum. He is a former NFL general manager. He's our friend here at Theoretically Speaking and an NFL insider. He's going to give us some insight into the Trent Williams situation with San Francisco, as well as I'm going to get his Super Bowl pick. I need to know if he has the Chiefs three-peating like I do. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're in a new hour, baby. It's a new era here at ESPN West Palm, and I love to share it with you. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
26 for 35, 3 touchdowns, 385 yards, and hung 41 on the Gators, the most they've ever surrendered in week 1 of the college football season. Cameron Anthony Ward. Get familiar with the name, man. Get familiar with the name. He might be coming to your favorite NFL team next season. Looking at you, New York Giants, or anybody that needs one. It is important for me to say here on Theoretically Speaking, again, you're joining us at a new hour here. We're going 2 to 4. This is new to us, and we're going to bring that same energy to you, me and my guy C-Cat. The Canes haven't won an ACC championship game ever.
Wait, ever?
Ever. They've never won the ACC. In fact, they've only been to one championship game, and they got their doors blown off by Clemson. So before we get too ahead of ourselves, and we're known to do that, again, the Canes fans, we get compared to the Cowboys fans. I will take it slow, but it is nice to feel some optimism. See, Kat, you've said it. It's the best time of the year. Everybody's optimistic. There's so much joy in the air. There's so much football ahead of us. Like, for you, this is the best.
This is the best. I like having my cake more so than eating my cake. So by having a college football weekend that I can talk about while also having the rest of the college football season and the entirety of the NFL season ahead of me, this is the happiest you will ever see me.
Did you ever? Did you have any of the cake they gave us today for the debut of Theoretically Speaking from 2 to 4 and then Russo and Rizzo following 4 to 6? Did you have any of that look like vanilla slash chocolate cake?
I didn't have any yet. I was too busy in the parade.
Exactly. See, you like having your cake and not eating it. Well, when you go to Kaiser University and you play in the athletics program, you get to have your cake, you get to eat it, you get to slice it, you get to share it because there's so much cake to go around there because all they do is win at Kaiser University. C-Cat, 22. Deuce, deuce. That's how many national titles them dudes got out there at Kaiser. We're talking about women's swimming and diving. We're talking about men's lacrosse. Of course, we got the reigning champions from football. When you do that much winning and that much banner hanging, I wonder if it ever gets old. We'll have to ask them. And if you want to tap in with the Seahawks programs and stay up to date with those folks, those good people, tap in with them at KUSeahawks.com. That's KUSeahawks.com for the latest on the champs as they hashtag defend the beach. 2 days out from the kickoff of the NFL season, I would be remiss if we didn't bring in our guy, Mike Tannenbaum, the general manager of Theoretically Speaking, our friend here that's going to be joining us on Tuesdays going forward through the football season. Mike T, how you feeling? I know you got to be feeling maybe as good as the people out in the Bay who are rejoicing because they got Trent Williams back, baby.
Yeah, Theo, great. Happy opening week season. It's going to be great. We got incredible game starting Thursday, Kansas City, Baltimore. Then in Brazil, we got Philly and Green Bay. And then that great Monday night game on ESPN with San Francisco and the Jets. I'm sure now all the Jet fans are saying, if Trent Williams is back, where's Haason Reddick?
Right. And before we get into, I want to ask those hold-in questions because I'm curious where things stand right now with the Jets and Reddick. And also you got Ja'Marr Chase with the Bengals. How important are these week one games going to be for those two teams specifically, for the Jets, for the Niners, because both have a lot to prove? The Niners coming off that Super Bowl hangover. The Jets, obviously you want to see what a year of Aaron Rodgers looks like, and there's going to be so many eyes on it. Like, who do you think that Monday night game is more important to between the Jets and Niners?
You know, I always say the home team, you know, Jets lose, it's a non-conference game, it's on the road, it's never ideal to lose, but, you know, for the 49ers, you want to, if you're going to be a dominant team, it starts at home. And, you know, they had a great year last year. So I always say the home team has a little bit more pressure on them.
Now, Haason Reddick would really help for the Jets if you're going to try to stop that prolific Niners attack. Is there any motion on this? Like, is there a real world in which we live in that the Jets just traded for a guy who might actually sit out regular season games due to them not being able to come to an agreement there on a contract extension?
Yeah, it's really, that would be unfortunate for them. You know, they lost Bryce Huff in free agency, and now they're waiting on, you know, one of the guys they wanted to replace. They still got Jermaine Johnson last year, so they're going to pick Will McDonald, but, you know, Haason Reddick could certainly help them.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, just 2 days out from that sweet sound of the football season being kicked off in the NFL. One guy that another, you know, group of fans want to know if he's going to be back playing in week one is Ja'Marr Chase. He's not doing the holdout like Reddick. He's doing the hold in. He's pulling up to practice and not practicing. But for you, when I look at the Bengals, they're obviously known for the fact that they don't give guaranteed money after the first year. And they also try to make sure that they don't negotiate contracts 2 years out. They broke that rule for Joe Burrow because he's the franchise quarterback. Is Ja'Marr Chase the level of player that the Bengals should go back to the bank and break that rule for again? Or do you think they hold strong here?
Look, if you do it, he's a great player, and it makes a lot of sense to do it. You're solving a problem today, but the question is, are you creating another one for somebody else in the locker room who's saying, hey, I'm doing all this stuff and, you know, playing hard, and you rewarded him but not me? So I would say to Ja'Marr, like, look, all these other guys like Justin Jefferson and Amara St. Brown all got paid with 1 year to go. You have 2 years, so let's knock this out in the offseason.
Is it? I mean, do you think it's getting that serious to where he might sit out a regular season game? Because I feel like his presence at practice gives people optimism. But then you hear Zach Taylor at the microphone, and you know, he's either he's, you know, conflicting with what he's saying. It sounds like he's backing down from stuff. Like, it makes it feel like there's a lot of, if not dissension, at least there's a lot of miscommunication around there in Cincinnati.
Well, I think, you know, it's a little bit what happened with Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. He held in and wound up getting traded. And I think we'll know a lot more this time next week, Theo, just in terms of, does he play? Does he say he's not healthy? Because a player under contract, if he's healthy, has to practice and play. So, like I said, we'll know a lot more here, you know, within the next week.
Mike Tannenbaum, NFL insider, former GM of the Jets, joining us here on Theoretically Speaking. 2 days out from the NFL kicking off with the Thursday night game. Then we got Friday night in Brazil. Then, of course, the regular Sunday slate. Is it out of CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, who had his holdout going, Jamar Chase, Haason Reddick, and even Trent Williams, is there any concern about bringing these guys in so late, like this close to the kickoff to the regular season? Because you've been in that seat before. Again, you talked about your experience with bringing Revis in late, and then he had the hamstring issues pop up. Out of all those guys, is Trent Williams maybe the guy that has the most concern around him because of his age? Or are you not concerned about him because he's a vet?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you may put those guys on a pitch count, 30, 40 snaps. Because, again, it's a long 17-game season. So, you know, typically you would say skilled players because they have to run more than offensive linemen. But you're right, you know, Trent Williams is getting up there in age. So I'd be smart, you know, like maybe give him every third series off, which is, again, not typical for an offensive lineman. But, you know, in this situation, it may be worth it.
Yeah, Mike, I got a college football question for you because I don't know if this is a media-created kind of fan fiction, but as a former GM, would you actually consider Deion Sanders hiring as an NFL head coach? Because is it a smoke, there's fire situation where everything Deion's done is following his son? His son's next stop after Colorado is likely the NFL. Would an NFL team in search of a head coach consider Deion?
You know, let's see how the rest of this year goes. I think, you know, we've seen, you know, a lot of those coaches try and fail. Like, we've seen them with Nick, Steve Spurrier. Probably Urban Meyer didn't work out. So I think you would proceed with caution. You know, Deion Sanders obviously was a great player, Hall of Famer, and has done a good job at Colorado. But I think given the fact that Mike Vrabel's out there, Bill Belichick's out there, not sure that he'd be, you know, the first guy on anyone's list. But, you know, let's see how the rest of the year goes.
Right, because it feels like a lot of what Deion brings is putting your program on the map and building a brand for a program that might be directionless like Colorado. I don't think NFL teams need that brand awareness. They need a good football coach. And if Thursday night's game is any indication of the type of football that they're playing in Colorado, struggling against FCS opponent North Dakota State, I don't think that's what you're getting with Deion.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Now, look, you know, player development is a big part of it, recruiting, retention, all those things. So he's still in the early part of his coaching career, and coaches develop themselves. So we can see how it plays out. But I do think there's probably more accomplished coaches on the pro level than Deion right now. And I do think his son, Shador, will be, you know, certainly a top five, top ten pick, assuming he plays the rest of the season, stays healthy. He's a really talented quarterback.
Now, Mike, we're going to play a game of plant your football flag where I'll ask you some hot-button topics before the NFL season kicks off, and I'll see which side of the fence you're on. Before we do, though, you talking about Shador in the NFL has me as a Miami Hurricanes fan a little antsy just to pick your brain. Did you see at all any of Cam Ward in the swamp, and how likely is it that that guy can play his way into being a first-round pick in the NFL next year?
Oh, I like that. I thought he played really well. It's amazing. He wasn't recruited, started at Incarnate Word, went to Washington State. He to me, was one of the more impressive week one players in the country.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, it's Canes fans are known to be similar to Cowboys fans, early to optimism and sometimes blindly, but that dude sporting that number one jersey, he's got us antsy around here. All right, C-Cat, let's play a little game. Plant your football flag. We're 2 weeks out. You hear that sound right there, Mike T? That's a football flag that you got to plant to be on one side or the other. And we're 2 weeks out here, or 2 days out from the NFL season kicking off. And I want to start you off in Indianapolis. A lot of people in fantasy football drafts, as well as just experts around the lead, high on Anthony Richardson. My question to you, Mike T, is Anthony Richardson going to lift the Colts to double-digit wins in 2024? Plant your football flag.
No. I like them. I think they're going to be improved, but you know, he only played five games, so, you know, with Houston and Jacksonville in the same division, I think they're better, but I don't see them having that good of a year.
All right, we got Mike T with a no on the Colts. I'll go yes on that one. I'll go yes on that one, Mike T. I feel like Shane Steichen is the guy that I'm putting my bet on as well because of what he's able to squeeze out of his quarterbacks. We'll see how that one wraps up. Let's stay in the division. Go over to Houston. Plant your NFL flag. Will Stephon Diggs, newly named team captain for the Texans, will Stephon Diggs have a chemistry or a blow-up issue with the Texans in his one-year deal here?
Well, I'm going to say chemistry. I'm going to plant my flag on chemistry. I think he'll be, he has 1 year on his contract. He'll want to get paid. So we'll get the best version of Stephon Diggs this year for sure.
Okay, got you. You're saying no problems out of Diggs. I'll agree with you on that one. I think he does want that major bag, and he knows if he does something weird on the sidelines or messes stuff up in Houston, it's going to look bad on him. Let's get out to Miami in the AFC East. The Dolphins, they're known for not winning in December. They're also known for not beating playoff opponents. They're playing seven teams that made the playoffs last year in their regular season slate. I ask you this, Mike T, will the Dolphins have a winning record against those seven playoff teams they play? And if you want me to list them out, I can. But do you think they can get a winning record in those seven games?
Yes, I'm going to plant my flag. You know, that's assuming they get Chubb and Phillips back and Tua stays healthy. But, you know, they're a talented team that can score a lot of points.
Mike T saying the Dolphins go at least 4-3 in those seven games against playoff teams from last year. I'm going to say I agree. I think they can get four games out of that, especially considering that the Browns are one of them, and I don't think they'll play up to that level. And the last one, this one is about the Lombardi Trophy. This one is about the end goal for every team as we plant our NFL flags with former NFL GM Mike Tannenbaum here on Theoretically Speaking. Will my Kansas City Chiefs do the unthinkable? Led by Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, will they do the unthinkable with Taylor Swift up in the box and get the three-peat in 2025?
No, my flag's going to be playing in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I think Kansas City has a good year, but when we're in New Orleans for the Super Bowl, I like Green Bay over Kansas City.
Oh, Mike, see, that hurts my heart.
Make it there.
That absolutely. But you think they'll make it there, but you think Jordan Love is the one that takes the cake today?
I do. I like the Packers over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
All right, Mike T, we'll put you on that side of the fence. I'm obviously planting the flag with my favorite team, the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see how that wraps up. We'll have you every Tuesday here on Theoretically Speaking. I hear we'll also be hearing you on Russo and Rizzo, which debuts today. So, Mike T, I'm excited to have you this football season, and I'm glad you gave us which side of the fence you're on. Have a good one.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Mike Tannenbaum joining us here, always brought to you by Eisner Amper.
Breaking news on ESPN 106.3 is brought to you by St. Lucie Battery and Tire. If your vehicle has issues with braking or other issues, get it fixed right now at St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
We've got some breaking news coming down the wire here. See, Kat, you said it was like Christmas early, being able to dance on the grave of Florida State fans. Well, we've got the AP poll, the debut of the AP poll after we've seen some college football games played, not preseason, but with actual results on the paper. And you haven't gotten to look at these yet.
No, you told me, or you actually sent me a screenshot during the Mike T interview of what the news was, but you didn't show me where these teams are.
So, from 1 to 25, we know where teams stand now based on the Associated Press. We'll play a little guessing game with you and see if you can pin down a few of them. The first one will be easier. How about this? Who do you think is number one on the poll?
I think it's the Georgia Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs who knocked around Clemson 34-3. Yes, you're right. That is correct. The Georgia Bulldogs number one in the ranking here moving forward. Now, I want to go negative here because I will give you the rest of the top five. Number two is Ohio State. Number three is the Texas Longhorns. Number four is Alabama. And number five, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who knocked off previously number 20, Texas A&M. So that's your top five. I want to ask you about teams that had big movement in the polls here. So let's start with the team that was previously ranked number 14 that lost to Georgia in a definitive way in that kickoff classic in Atlanta. The Clemson Tigers, led by Dabo Swinney, who says no to transfers, two thumbs down to transfers. They were 14 last week, C-Cat. They lose to the Bulldogs. Where do you think they are on this list?
Georgia's going to make a lot of teams look like that this year. But I'm going to say they dropped the Clemson Tigers to 21.
Lower or higher. Worse.
How about 24? Are they out of the top 25?
Jeez, you're bad at this. They're 25. They're number 25 on the list. I think
there's a lot of options.
I know. That's kind of, I kind of screwed you there. Like, I didn't mean to put you in that position. It's funny you go from 24 to out of the top 25, a natural progression there. But no, Dabo Swinney and the Tigers dropped from 14 to 25, which, to be honest, again, you're right. Georgia's going to dog out a lot of squads. They're going to make a lot of teams look bad. They're packed with talent, and they got a really good quarterback. But Clemson just looked flat.
Yeah.
Their offense, similar to the Gators' offense, looked non-threatening. And I'm not sure if that was just Georgia's doing. They might look like that throughout the year. A couple more teams that had some movement. The LSU Tigers played USC. They played so poorly down the stretch. Brian Kelly was slamming tables and acting fake mad. They started the year ranked 13. They lose 27-20 against USC. Where do you think they fall on the AP list?
17.
Close. The Tigers are 18.
Okay.
The Tigers are 18 on that list. And one more. The Miami Hurricanes, who are clearly going to be the number one team in the state of Florida when we do our sunshine standings tomorrow, ranking the top college football programs in the state of Florida. The Hurricanes were 19 before they hung 41 on them Gators in the swamp. How high up do you think the Canes flew?
I think they put them at 12.
Right at 12.
Hey.
Look at this guy. This guy's on the money, or somebody back there is helping you out with the answers. Nope. So you can look good. That was all you?
No, that was all me.
Canes moving up 7 spots. I do think that is a appropriate ranking of them because the teams ahead of them, the Utes, Michigan, Missouri, like even your Penn State Nittany Lions who stay at number 8 right now, like it's too early to move them up because part of that is the Gators just, they look like trash.
It's also, all that is, why should we put any stock into what the preseason poll was?
Yeah.
Like, because we thought they were going to be good, that means they're starting from a higher place. They won't fall as far. This should be the first poll, in all honesty.
It should. It necessarily should. But again, we tell you why we do the AP preseason polls, so we could sell games. So we could say it's 14-1 when Clemson and Georgia play, when we know in reality Clemson's not necessarily that high. The fact that they got ranked 14 means that they probably are always around 20.
Now, I got a question for you. Where's Florida State? We didn't get to the most pressing matter. They started at 10 before week 0. So they've lost 2 games compared to mostly everybody else in the country who lost 1 game.
Yeah. They.
I'm going to guess.
Go ahead and guess where Florida State falls.
They should be receiving votes. That's where Florida State should be. Just because we thought Florida State was going to be a top 10 team.
So you think they should be receiving votes. I got to go to the actual list because I'm on an actual article here. AP Top 25. Florida State, I don't think they received votes.
Wait. So
I don't think they received votes. I'm going to the AP site. They're 0-2. They were number 10 in the nation. They lost to 2 unranked ACC squads. And I'm trying to go to the bottom here where they go to the receiving votes, and I don't think Florida State got any votes in this one.
Nobody wrote down Florida State in the AP poll.
I'm pretty sure they didn't. I mean, Florida State got bullied by 2 bottom half of the ACC teams. And they shouldn't have gotten any votes. I don't have the official. I can't find it this quickly because I'm not as good at researching on the fly here. We'll get that. How about this? We dig it up and figure out if anybody gave Florida State one singular vote in the AP Top 25 after starting the season number 10, after criticizing everybody and their mama and booing Kirk Herbstreit and saying that they just rolled over in the Orange Bowl because it didn't matter, though it looked terrible, just like it has looked the first 2 games of this season. We'll tell you on the other side after a little research whether or not Florida State actually got any first-place votes. And also on the other side, we have to preview something that's huge for you. Not only are we getting to get around, but we got Tina coming up. Tina is going to be a daily member of the show. Our homie Tina in the wild, our bestie. She's going to pull up. We're going to have some tea time. We're going to have some fun for happy hour. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're doing a little research on those Noles. Did you get a vote? Did you get a singular vote? We'll tell you on Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We've got a little Theoretically Speaking trivia coming your way. And I think, am I 100% so far?
You are.
I think I am. I got the assist from Dean on the Julian Edelman. And then I ended up getting the second one as well. I can't remember what that was. So we'll give you that trivia. First, I got to tell you, because, again, I had a long weekend of traveling. I was bent up in the middle seat on the plane on the way back from D.C. to PBI, and, yeah, I was a little sore. Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Soon we have Tina in the Wild pulling up, our homie injecting some flavor and some joy as we have the happy hour around the corner on Theoretically Speaking. But first, C-Cat, gotta play a little trivia.
Man,
I'm nervous.
You're riding the Cam Ward train.
Yes, I am.
And as a non-Miami Hurricane fan, I also am. He looked ridiculously good against an SEC defense. I don't care where you expect Florida to finish in 2024. That was impressive.
All aboard.
No doubt about that.
All aboard the Cam Ward train. All aboard.
Cam Ward had 3 touchdowns and 385 passing yards.
Boy.
What a ridiculous performance in Miami's 41-17 win.
Smackdown.
Over Florida in Gainesville. Theo, my question to you and my question to the audience, whether you're on YouTube, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, or of course on the airwaves of ESPN 106.3 FM, is simply this. Who was the last Miami quarterback to throw for 300 yards or more and 3 touchdowns in a season opener?
In a season opener, that's pretty tough. I was going to go TBD. Now I don't know which way I'm going to go, but maybe we'll get this as we think through the break. Tina's going to pull up on the other side for happy hour, and I've got to figure out which Canes quarterback had over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a season debut. That and more as we enter the happy hour. Get your drinks ready, especially if you're sitting at home. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.